to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Talk is all you get, and you wanna hear it straight.
Give it to me straight.
There's a place to find all the answers.
AMFM Shortwave Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller. We'll be with you live from the studios of Republic Broadcasting Network for the next 2 hours. On the 16th day of April, 2007. And today, folks, I guess because April 15th fell on a Sunday, the federal government is going to allow you to extend a deadline out to August, or I'm sorry, did I say August? April 17th, which is tomorrow, that's your deadline for filing. Well, this is my favorite time of the year, ladies and gentlemen, because I sit back every year, watch the propaganda, and it doesn't matter if it's your local couch-sitting talking heads passing themselves off as news people, or it's more at the national level, that remind you of the severity of not filing your taxes. Oh, there's jail time. Oh, there's interest. There's penalties. Senator Charles Grassley is, with a new IRS commissioner, is holding hearings on and how to make the IRS more efficient and manageable. I mean, come on, folks. All this stuff and all the gyrations we've been through, all the research, all the questions have been asked, and what do we deserve as Americans? Forget your right of redress. You know what you get back when you ask a question about especially the IRS? You get dead silence. Dead silence. More and more talk now, oh, we need a national flat tax. I was listening, I forget who it was, one of these schmucks on television last night talking about, I know what it was, Wayne Rogers of the Wayne Rogers Group. You know, that, remember that was the guy that was, who was he, Trapper John or something on MASH? Yeah, that decided that he couldn't cut it as an actor and there was one heck of a lot more money to be made, in the Wall Street game. Well, I hear him last night talking, this is the land of the free and all this stuff. And look at Estonia. They got a flat tax. Well, look at Russia. Well, they got a flat tax. You know, at least we can be as fair and as free as Russia. Folks, the extortion continues. And I don't know any other way to put this except that you're extorted out of the money that should be yours. And people are not getting this. These people at the Fed level, they ain't listening. We've been talking, but they ain't been listening. In a couple of minutes here, I've got my scheduled guests, and I'm glad to have these guys online. Tommy Crier and Larry Beecraft. We'll be talking to these guys. And Tommy, evidently, the government's got to go back and retune their case against Tommy Crier because he had a scheduled court and they put it off. I just love this. You know, I mean, these Fed prosecutors, you know, it's often been said as a joke that they can indict a ham sandwich. Well, they do. I mean, my analogy is federal prosecutors, that's like throwing dirty diapers up against the wall, and which one sticks, that'll be the one to go with. It doesn't stop them from heaving the stuff. But when we get back from break, I got a little song that I always play for the April 15th tax blues out there by Steve Voss. As soon as that's done, we'll be joined Tommy Crier and Larry Beecraft right after this. Stay tuned.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like a chicken farm arms his chickens. Have you had enough? Time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life, sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-533.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and a debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. Increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a biweekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to brew? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
The right idea up in Boston in 1773. Tea party thrown by Sam Adams, Sons of Liberty. Sent a little message to the king in plain and simple terms. They just said no, told them where to go, and there's a lesson there to learn. When we have a Boston tea party, bring a tax man to his knees, start. Put the orders in one big line. Stick tax forms where the moon don't shine. Bye-bye, Fordies, bye-bye, IRS. Bye-bye, working more and making less. It's high time we started. We need to have a little tea party. To tax my income, tax my outgo, tax my house and my gas. Next thing you know, they'll find a way. Tax my tax. It's just a highway robbery. They're taking all I got, but the clock's ticking on them. Picking, we're gonna make it stop. We need to have a Boston Tea Party. Bring the tax man to his knees, start it. The auditors in one big line. Stick the tax forms where the moon don't shine. Bye-bye, 1040s, bye-bye, IRS. Bye-bye, working more and making less. It's high time we started. We need to have a little tea party.
Steve Voss. Time to have another tea party. I've got Tommy Crier online, and I've got Lawrence Beecraft also online. By the way, Tommy Crier's program is on this network every Saturday from 2 to 4 p.m., and that can be found on the shortwave dial at 12.180. We don't have Larry Beecraft on this network, but we invited him anyway. How are you doing this afternoon, Larry?
Hey, John, how you doing?
I'm doing well, sir, and Mr. Crier, are you also there?
I'm here. I'm right here.
All right, good deal. Well, here it is. We got a little extension on the April 15th deadline, and it seems that we got a bunch of deadheads, gentlemen, still in government. We have We the People Foundation, Bob Schultz out there, still trying to get his redress from the government, get you know, just a few answers out of him as to what's what. There's a lot of people confused out there, but I don't think you gentlemen are, and especially Mr. Crier. By the way, tell me, why did they back off on their court date with you?
Well, you can only speculate as to what... because they don't say much about what they're thinking, but they indicated to the court that they were going to seek a superseding indictment for the subsequent years after they charged me with 2000 and 2001, and they were going to go in and get indictments for the following years.
Oh.
But as it turned out, they decided not to do that. They went in and they did obtain a superseding indictment for a failure to file. That is for 2000 and 2001, same year. And so now what their motives are, you can only speculate. They don't say much. But they indicated to the court that's what they wanted to do. And so the court, on its own motion, just scrubbed the trial off the docket.
And left you hanging there with the proverbial sword of Damocles over your neck.
Well, it just drags it out. And of course, now they may figure that maybe they haven't treated me enough. You know, I don't know. But they're dragging it out. I can't help but wonder if, like you've already observed, the possibility that maybe they carefully timed this indictment and the trial setting to come in just before, their big tax day.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they decided they didn't want this one coming up that right before tax time after all. No.
Well,
your guess is as good as mine, John.
Well, Tommy, and it doesn't surprise me. I mean, and my analogy here with the dirty diapers, I mean, guys, I had a little talk with a couple of, they weren't federal prosecutors today, but I kind of held my own court today with a couple of prosecutors, county prosecutors, and I said, if I guys, I'd be a little bit worried. And they'd said, why is that? And I said, well, you're running a corporation inside of a corporation inside of a larger corporation. In other words, you work for the county that's working for the betterment of the umbrella corporate status, the Texas deal, you know. And I says, and then you're encompassed by the greater corporation. I said, the problem is, I said, we've got a lot of out there following public policy that flies in the face of the Constitution, and you're instituting public policy, and well, you're going to keep reeling this thing in and until there ain't no more slack in the line. But the problem is that the people out here, they found a way to get to you guys, you crooked prosecutors and crookedes. And he had this kind of like white and knuckled look on his face. And I said, yeah, and I'm talking about the grand jury. And I says, and I want to see you people pulled in. And I want to see you in front of these people because this is the only redress we have. You've already rigged the judges and the trials. Feds are especially good at that one. And I said, we people out here have had enough of that stuff. And we've let you go on with your game here, but the time is not. And both of these guys, you could have sworn it, I just told them I shot their dogs. Because they had this look on his face. It was one of surprise and at the same time. I've never seen that mix quite on a person's face before, but they didn't like what I was saying.
Well, a runaway grand jury is a very rare thing, but it's a beautiful thing with it.
Well, I'm telling you.
It can be a thing of just sheer beauty. It can bring tears to your eyes. It also can bring tears to the bad guy's eyes.
Well, that's the point because, this probably. You're down there in the parishes. You're familiar with the good old boy club down there. You know how stuff works sometimes. And once you get somebody, you got a little hook in them, well, to save the smaller fish, the bigger fish will come in. And it's the same old game. And people are mistaking. Tommy, if there's a courtroom there, they think, oh, justice. No, it's just us, meaning them. And they're going to do whatever they have to do to perpetrate whatever fraud that they've been perpetrating all these years, and I can't think of a bigger one than the income tax issue. Larry, are you there, sir?
I'm here, John.
Are you on a speakerphone?
Yes, you want me to get off?
Oh, please do.
I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Lawrence, what have you been up to lately here?
Well, new round of tax cases. You were mentioning just a minute ago that there's always come April 15th, either shortly before or shortly thereafter, a bunch of people getting indicted, and that indeed is true even this year. So that's keeping me busy. Tommy was indicted last year, but there's a new crop for 2007. That's what's going on.
And I'm amazed. I only had a few minutes, guys, to watch Senator Charles Grassley with the new Iverson, or what he calls himself, the new IRS commissioner. And we've already heard what he's planning to do here with these protesters out there. We're just going to beef up the enforcement. We're going to go after these people. Well, we've seen the Larkin Roses go to prison. We've seen the Erwin Schiff's cousin. We've seen the guy from Aeroplastics up there in Fort Worth, Dick Simcannon. We saw him go to prison. They're just having a heyday here, going after people and putting them in prison. Because, well, they're just out there spreading evil rumors that none of this stuff is legal. And, well, they're enabling people to break federal law by encouraging them not to pay their federal income taxes. Larry, what do you tell people when somebody comes to you and say, look, the IRS is breathing down my neck here. What am I supposed to do about this?
John, there's a multiple of approaches that need to be taken regarding this particular problem. I think we need a grand solution. What I've observed over the years, or come along, let me some of the groups that I've seen. Let's call it ABC Patriot Organization goes out, news about the tax issues. They want to spread, and they have a kind of a basic program. And with that basic program, they start conducting seminars and, charge people to come and attend, or they have their missions, and they build a little group. Well, the groups have an institutional interest. Their interest is growing the numbers that are in their organization. And yet their program is kind of limited. The new people that have come in, they'll stay there for a while, they'll learn the program, they'll learn what the issues are, they'll read materials, they'll read the books, watch the videotapes. But, after a couple of years, those people have matured, and they're in a quest for something more. Well, the organization don't have really anything to do for the people that are posture, and so people have a tendency to move on. And when you look across America, that's a big problem that I see. You got a lot of people that have learned the basics, but beyond that, they haven't been educated about what to do next.
All right, gentlemen,
what to do next is real important.
Okay, we got to take this break, and when we get back, I want to put out there another suggestion I had. I see a lot of people expending money and energy, and I think we need a tax foundation. So when things work, we cut them until they modify and come back after us. More after this break. Stay tuned.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents deal with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "Shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars, rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People ever trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials. Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific. And it's healthy.
healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free 866-222-307, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free 866-222-3017 or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
All right, folks, we're back. I don't want to go into this right now, but there's been a shooting at Virginia Tech. 33 students killed at Virginia Tech, and the shooter's also dead. Me being a conspiratorial-minded kind of guy, I mean, like another Manchurian candidate. You know, for once, I'd like to see one of these shooters survive this stuff so we can get answers. At any rate, we'll cover that as time goes. If not, we'll go in-depth with it tomorrow. Gentlemen, before the break, I said that, you know, I've said this many times before, that, you know, here we all are out there. And Larry, you kind of pointed at it. And when you were talking, I was thinking, you know, some people arm themselves with enough information to get themselves in trouble. And what I have suggested before, and I've seen Bob Schultz from We the People Foundation throw a lot of money at running full paid ads. I've seen a lot of other people, you know, doing productions and doing videos and DVDs. I've seen a lot of people attacking this problem from different angles. And and what eventually always happens here is the government walks in, punches holes in somebody's argument, says they're frivolous arguments, whatever else. You can't paperwork. They give you a bunch of no's that you can't do. In the meantime, apparently we still have the erroneous Sixth Amendment still in full effect. The government is still collecting income taxes, and we've got people going to jail. A lot of them are getting out, but more people, don't worry. The cells are prisons abhor vacuums. They lock bodies in their cages. And what I've said before, gentlemen, that a foundation be set up, and that when we find things that succeed, we cookie-cutter them, spread them all over the place, modify and do whatever we have to do to make the necessary adjustments when the government comes back at you with their screed of total garbage. And I can think of no other way to do this except to get everybody under one tent. Let's get all the arguments and all the contentions out on the table. Let's pick a course. Let's go after them. And when necessary, modify the approach and get on with it. Gentlemen, you know, the old saying is that if they don't us all together, they're going to hang us all separately. Apparently, that's the modus operandi of our favorite people in the Internal Revenue Service.
Can I respond to that, John?
Please do.
If you go back and take a look at successful movements of the past, there's a pattern to what they've done. There's a structure of what they've done. If you go back and take a look at the Civil Rights Movement, they had battles going on, well-organized battles, on several different fronts. Now, I would say that a minority of the population, like the blacks are in this country, if they were able to push their agenda and succeed at it, what they did, at least the route, the critical that they took, is something that we should copy. They had several aspects to their fight. They had a, you know, propaganda angle. You know, a lot of people were doing things, you know, communicating with neighbors and friends and spreading the message and getting popular support. They also had litigation in court, and they also had political activities. And those three things, you know, propaganda, you know, persuading of the populace, political activities, as well as litigation, those are, in my view, critical to a successful movement. In this movement, you know, we don't have any of that. You know, by and large, what happens is you have a lot of one-man shows. And, you know, I like Irwin, but what did Irwin do? You know, it was only about his organization. You know, it was a one-man show with, you know, a couple of people that came with him. And it was difficult to work with him. And that's the situation it is with a lot of other groups. You know, there's a lot of infighting. There's a lot of information that floats around. You know, that's one of the things that Tommy and I were talking about on his radio show on Saturday afternoon. But, you know, unless we get organized, and you know, I think we need to have a meeting where we agree upon a, you know, an overall strategy, and the overall strategy must incorporate those three essential elements. We have persuasion of the population, that's called propaganda. We got to have political activities, and then we also have to have litigation. It all has to move forward at the same time. And if we did that, you know, what's more painful is everybody sitting around on their hands and doing nothing. We consume more resources. We have more destruction in this camp as a result of, you know, no offense. The government is just inflicting immeasurable damage. However, with offense, you can then at least stop that. The resources will be won't be consumed the way they're being consumed right now.
Well, and again, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think there are lessons to be learned from recent history. I'm in agreement with you, Larry. And again, I'm having the problem here of too many people trying to do the right thing, but they're being slam dunked. And the government's got all the time, and they got all the money. If they don't have any, they just order the Treasury Department to print more, and they go sell paper to somebody around the globe. But the point is that, you know, you got John Kottmeyer with Save the Patriot Foundation, Bob Schultz or Red Beckman, any of these guys. I mean, you mention their names, everybody knows who they are. I don't see the possibility, at least today, of getting these people together. I mean, you two guys are attorneys. You're fighting the same beast. And I for the life of me, I think the way to go on this thing is to start a legitimate tax foundation. Get these people under one roof. Let's hammer out a strategy. Let's look at the arguments. Let's go after them instead of them repeatedly coming after us. We got a break here. Tommy Cryer is our guest today, along with Larry Beecraft. We'll continue this conversation after this break. And if you want to chime in on this one, folks, it's tax day. 800-313-9443. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting. Because you can know the truth.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $50,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategy can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
We've all considered solar power one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar-powered generator. For a lot less than you'd expect, this portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids are out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked at several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team and their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which means more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com.
You can go skiing this winter, too.
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com is a global opportunity.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, we have something coming up here on the 23rd, 24th, and 25th. It is the deal here with the North American Union. If you go up to our website, and this has to do with the trucker board, the teamsters, by the way, they ask to call it a rally, and they might consider taking part in it. Well, my wife yesterday went down to a truck stop near, I think it was San Marcos or further south, New Braunfels, I'm sorry. And we tacked up 200 flyers to truckers' mirrors and took opportunity to talk to as many as we possibly could. And a lot of these guys get it. But what was the number one overriding thing that I heard? Well, it's about time somebody's doing something about it. Well, I'm not a trucker and I'm not a member of the Teamsters. I'm against the North American Union and the New World Order's plan for this country. And I suggested to them that they get better people in their Teamsters Union that are going to represent their people instead of representing the business interest. And you know what really caught their attention when I told them, you know, 30-plus illegal Mexicans entry? As soon as they get their amnesty and they get driver's licenses, who do you think the trucking company is going to be hiring because they're going to be paying them less in wages and also less in benefit? I said, congratulations, guys. They're going to be taking your job, and you're going to be standing along the sidelines looking at us. Well, they understood that. But here's my point. My point is, go up to the website, republicbroadcasting.org. There are two flyers up there that you download. Print them. You guys, a lot of you people out there live around truck stops that you've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of trucks going in and out every single day, day in and day out, 24/7. Get out there with the flyers. Talk to these guys. Remember back in 73, they were protesting the double nickel? I remember the trucks two lanes wide blocking the Ohio Turnpike. They just shut their rigs down. Well, this time around, folks, it's more important. Talking about the Trans-Texas Corridor, we're talking about the NAFTA Highway, we're talking about the North American Union. We're talking a lot of different issues here, but what is at the core of it is the North American Union. So go to the website, download those flyers up there, print them out, and go to your local truck stops. There are too few people taking enough action. And gentlemen, I've got two guys here that I don't have to tell that there are too few people carrying too much a load. And it's time that we all start getting involved. No matter if it's on taxes, I don't care if it's on the North Order, North American Union, call it whatever you want. But get involved. You've been sitting on the sidelines way, way too often. Your support of individuals and organizations has, at best, been really thin. And, gentlemen, I don't think I have to tell you guys, we're literally in the battle of our lives for this country, our constitutional republic. And one of the problems we have here, as we're discussing today, is the Internal Revenue Service. Either one of you, jump right on in there.
You don't have any objections for me about what the future looks like. You know, I agree wholeheartedly that in the next 3 years, this is my expectation, and it goes along exactly with what you're saying about the North American Union. Right now, if you go back, you know, doing away with the statistics or publication of statistics about the growth of the dairy aggregates M1, M2, and M3 last year is a real indicator that we're getting ready to get into hyperinflation. Now, I don't know what you do every day, John, but I get up in the morning and I have to take my son to school. I drop by Burger King, get him a little breakfast. I also get something from a wife. And I sit there and watch just those prices go up every day. And it's increased, you know, tremendously the last couple of months. We sit there and watch gasoline going up. What is happening on an economic front is that we're getting ready to go into hyperinflation. And it wouldn't surprise me that within the next, 2 years, we're clipping along at 50%, 60% inflation per year. be at that stage by the end of the year. And that's going to cause some very serious economic problems. Then if you have the government along with the baby boomers coming in, and we've got Helicopter Ben sitting there in the chairman of the Fed and saying, I'm not going to get out of, you know, letting the government get away with not paying Social Security. You know, if I have flying in a helicopter and throwing out money at the door, you know, I'll do that.
Yeah.
We're going to go into hyperinflation. And when you have hyperinflation, we're going to have the same economic consequences that Germany did back in 1923. It's going to take a barrel of money to buy a loaf of bread. And with that economic destruction that comes in the wake of rampant inflation, there may very well be a day when we wake up and, you know, it's just all falling apart. And then the solution steps forward on the horizon. We're going to have a supranational bank that will issue the Amero. And then all these banks, you know, will sitting there with their non-performing debts, their assets, you know, these mortgages and notes that they hold, swap them for other assets of this bank, and we'll have a new monetary system. And then what you have, when Meyer Amschel Rothschild said, I care not who makes the laws, just give me the power to make the money. And that's what we'll have, and we'll be dictated to by an international confab, just like Europe has.
And Larry, and you know, I've talked about this on air before. I don't care if we got the 108th Congress or it was the 100th Congress or it was the 95th or whatever Congress it was. These people sitting up there in Washington, D.C., supposedly representing us, are just as much collusionary in this scam as the people back in 1913 that pushed it through. Because when you have something like this, that is the American people are subjected to it year after year after year after year, plausible deniability doesn't get it in Washington, D.C. We have not held these creatures accountable. They have not stepped up to the plate. They are just going along to get along. In the last 10 years, they've watched businesses, and everybody out there that's a Republican thinks, oh, well, Republicans are for big business. Yeah, you want to bet? Take a look at the track record. In less than 10 years' time, we've lost 85% of our manufacturing jobs in this country. I mean, we are on a sleigh ride to hell, and they forgot to lay the snow down. It's going to be a bumpy ride. And here's my problem, Larry, because you hit it. When the chaos strikes, there ain't going to be anybody sitting around talking to the government about the IRS. There's not going to be anybody out there talking about the Second Amendment. We are going to have an all-out, in-your-face police state, because then you are going to have martial law. You're going to see the rat's nest explode in the cities across our country. And you're going to see things in this country that people never thought it was humanly possible, because they're Americans. They never thought that the government would ever do anything like that.
Well, I think, you know, I don't think it's going to, you got to remember, John, that we got to have a cauldron in America, much like Iraq. You know, we're going to have conditions like Iraq is experiencing today, and it'll be for 3-4 months, maybe even a year. And the purpose of that will be to get the population screaming for Big Brother to solve all the problems.
You got it. Tell you what, gentlemen, let's go to the phones here. Walt in Arizona, you're online with Tommy Cryer and Larry Becraft.
Hello, good afternoon. It's very interesting to hear Larry again. I haven't heard him since many years ago with Mr. Benson from Illinois.
Yep.
And Mr. Cryer from Shreveport. I haven't been in Shreveport for so many years, I don't even know what it looks like today.
Well, after Katrina got done with it, I don't think it's much to look at, is it, Tommy?
Well, we were pretty well spared by Katrina because it missed us, but I guarantee you he wouldn't recognize it.
Yeah, I can.
It's a gambling mecca now.
Hello? Oh, yeah, we have industry now. Yeah.
With all those good-paying jobs.
We have money from one pocket to another, and half of it going out of town industry. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't think you can gamble yourself into prosperity. But nevertheless, that's just one man's opinion.
Walt, what's on your mind today?
Well, I had a couple of thoughts here. And the first thing we have to decide is whether the so-called income tax is a direct tax or an indirect tax. And most people are under the false impression that I might have been one time until I read Brushover versus Union Pacific, 1916, and a few other cases. And until we go back and read the Supreme Court decisions, we don't know what the tax is based on. And that's where the fundamental error starts in the beginning. As far as I can see, it is an indirect tax on a corporate privilege. And if you're enjoying the corporate privilege, either directly known or unknown, you're obliged to pay the tax. Now, the tax is not on the income. The tax is measured by the income, and that's a legal aspect that's rather interesting. But the subject of the tax is the indirect tax that you're enjoying a privilege with. So there's where all the confusion seems to arise. I remember the battles that went on in Mesa and Phoenix years ago, and old Mr. Marvin Cooley got himself to play tennis up at the minimum federal detention at Safford, Arizona, with Halderman. But I knew Mr. Cooley directly, and the others that were all there coming out of Mesa. So until we make up our mind clearly and know that it is a direct or an indirect tax, we're skating on thin ice. But once we get on solid ground and start to look at it, we'll realize by reading the court cases that it's an indirect tax. And I have two references here for the two attorneys.
Well, one of them is going to be that 1943 Congressional Record excerpt.
Well, Springer versus U.S., 102 U.S.
Springer was a member of Congress back during the Civil War period.
He was a lawyer. An attorney also.
Right.
And you know the case?
I'm well familiar with I've read all the congressional records. He was a representative from Missouri. He was a lawyer.
Yeah.
He contended during the Civil War era that the income tax was a direct tax, and that was the position he took when his case went up to the Supreme Court in the case that you're talking about, Springer against the United States. After that, he learned his lesson. So when the 1894 Act is being proposed, he came along and he was making arguments in Congress, oh, it's an excise tax. Well, poor old Springer missed out again because when they enacted that law, it went to the Supreme Court, and that time in the Pollock case, the Supreme Court said, oh, it's a direct tax.
Right.
And incidentally, that is the real problem that we have with the income tax, trying to classify it, stick it into one constitutional categories. The real observation, you need to read a lot of cases on the point. At the federal level, most of the federal appellate courts say that the income tax is a direct tax, and the 16th Amendment eliminates the apportionment requirement, but that's a rule subject to exception because there's a minority view that it's an excise tax. But at the state level, the exact opposite prevails. Most of the state courts say that an income tax is an excise tax, but that's a rule subject to an exception because there's a minority view that it's a direct tax. That's the truth of the matter.
Well, how can you have an excise tax? Isn't excise taxes usually attached to goods?
Not necessarily. It's on the
enjoyment. Well, it's not connected to property, that's for sure.
Okay.
I've got one other case.
Well, it can be. It can be. Let me just put a footnote on that. And then... Yeah. If you look at Bruchheimer again, or you say Caribbean, I say Caribbean, I say Bruchheimer, you say Bruchheimer. But if you look at that, you'll see where the Supreme Court made reference to the fact that while the income tax was an indirect tax, that the and therefore was not subject to the requirement of apportionment, that if it, as applied, were to have the effect of being a direct tax, then in that particular case, they would hold it to the requirement of apportionment. And you do have that in a situation that we have today, and that is that as applied to personal earnings, where somebody has given up a part of their life, a part of their energy, a part of their skill and knowledge, in order to, in exchange for a wage or in exchange for a salary or a fee, then that is a portion of that wage, at the very least, a portion of it, perhaps all and then some, is attributable to that investment of human capital. Now, whatever, the Supreme Court's also held that a man's labor is his property. As a matter of fact, they consider it the most violent of properties, the most sacred of properties. And so whenever you've got a tax that taxes 100% of personal earnings, then not only the profit, but the investment, the personal investment required to obtain that profit, if there was any profit at all. So under Bruchhaber, the Supreme Court vowed that if it ever were applied against property or against person, where it was a mandatory tax, not a voluntary or avoidable excise tax, then they would not hesitate to strike it down. And that's exactly what they did in Town v. Eisner and Eisner v. McComber in your stock dividend cases. And that's exactly, you know, the basis for it. So if it's applied to wages and personal earnings, it's my view that as applied, it is a direct tax, and it requires apportionment. So if you're talking about strictly corporate privileges, you're talking about strictly profit that can be determined by, you know, backing out of the capital or basis required as an investment in order to earn or make that profit, then that's a different subject. That would be an excise. But if it's applied to property, such as labor, then that is a direct tax, and it requires apportionment. The 16th Amendment does not exclude property taxes or does not exempt property taxes from the requirement of apportionment among the states.
No.
Now, you know, maybe you might disagree with that, but...
No, I don't. I think you're quite on target there. Hale versus Henkel in 1906. Are you familiar with that? I think you should be.
Everyone is.
Hale versus Henkel, 201 U.S. 43 of 1906, made a very clear analysis of individual versus corporate. And that is some of the fundamentals of understanding this more complex issue of, is there an income tax on wages or is there an income tax on privileges? And there's where we get into a quagmire, because we're not stepping into a good solid base when we get confused between the issue of wages and of profits. As I've read all the things that I've had in this matter for 30 years, and I think I actually stood next to Red Beckman, the big tall boy, from when he spoke one time up in Phoenix. And I've been reading this thing and studying, not as a lawyer, but sort of on a paralegal level, and enjoyed all the reading I do. And I find so many people get into the quagmire. And one of the points that I had come across was an explanation of when you become a bank.
Walt, can you hear that music?
I think we got to hold over, right?
Well, I can only give you a few more minutes.
All right, well, that's all I have, and I'll wind it up after.
All right, we'll be right back.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
If you would, please finish up, sir.
I'll need about 2 minutes. Is that all right?
That's fine. Go.
All right, fine. We've got a maze and hedgerows here. We're trying to get through and figure out how to solve the problem. One of the words that's being tossed around lately in the courts is the income tax is voluntary. Well, did you volunteer to become a corporate officer, or did you volunteer to become a stockholder? Or did you volunteer to open up a checking account at a bank? Those where you volunteered and fell into the jurisdiction. Those are the hinge points that I want to make today. The implication is nobody took a gun to your head and told you to open a bank account. The implications and responsibilities of doing that made you a quasi-corporate partner with the bank, and that's your excise tax obligation. That's all I have, and I wind it up there, and thank you, gentlemen.
Okay, thank you, Walt. I appreciate your call.
Right.
Any comment on that, gentlemen?
Well, I disagree with the theory that, you know, engaging in banking activities and having a bank account makes you subject to the tax. You know, there's a lot of people that come along and want to read a lot into this, you know, that's looking for answers. But, you know, the simple fact of the matter is that a lot of these things that people are looking for and say that these are indicators of, or these are the way that you get connected to the tax, you know, that stuff's got to appear in the statute someplace. It's kind of like Bob Wangard went out years ago and said, oh, they got you because you're using the zip code. Well, you know, there's nothing to that effect.
Right.
And, you know, the mere use of, having within the jurisdiction of a state, a debtor-creditor relationship with a bank, that isn't what makes you subject to the income tax.
No. As a matter of fact, on that, if you look at the issue on that Walt is talking about here is the exercise of corporate privileges. There's no such thing. You're either a corporation or you're a living, breathing person or you're some other entity. But the fact, you know, is that we cannot, as mere mortals, we cannot exercise corporate privileges because we're not perpetual. We're mortal. We die. Two, we get sick. Number three, you know, we have to be born and grow up. A corporation is born the minute it hits the ink. You know, the ink is dry. These are corporate privileges and the right to ownership without even having to be born and not having to face, mortality. Are privileges that are unique to corporations, which is why these privileges are special privileges. And you cannot, I don't care if you are even an officer of a corporation, I don't think that you're exercising corporate privileges. You are merely acting on behalf of the corporation and its exercise of its privileges.
Well, what about the argument, Tommy, what about the argument that they have created an artificial entity, namely, it used to be the sovereign citizen, but now it's the corporate entity?
Well, are you, John, are you saying that we're, in essence, equal to or the same as corporations?
I would not think so. I would not argue that.
No. No. I don't think so either. And I don't think that opening a bank account is the exercise of a corporate privilege. I think offering a bank account by a corporation or a banking association that enjoys the benefits that a corporation does is the exercise of a corporate privilege. But I don't believe that the person who accepts that account and opens it up with the bank then is availing himself of any corporate privileges because he has no corporate privileges.
Well, one might argue that all banks require Social Security numbers, so that gets you back into the corporate fiction.
No. The Social Security Act of 1935, you know, it's just a welfare scheme. And, you know, it's for those that are that would be classified as lawful subjects of legislation, it applies to them.
Well, and of course,
and it doesn't turn us into, you know, something that we're not.
Right. No. Gentlemen, we got a break here. 800-313-9443. We'll take your calls after the top of the hour break. My guests today, Tommy Crier and Larry Becraft. We'll be right back.